Okay, Rachel, it's Christmas Day, and people, especially when you're kids, you get really psyched about presents and Santa and
totally.
The like. But there's a lot of people who are concerned that you take the religion of Christmas has been taken out of the holiday because it is one of the most religious on the Christian calendar. A lot of people think that about our daily lives. I mean, what if you actually had to live your religion day to day?
Yeah,
can you imagine
I don't know
that?
If I could do that.
One guy who can't imagine it is A.J. Jacobs. He wrote this book called The Year of Living Biblically, One Man's Humble Quest to Follow the Bible. We thought we'd replay some of that interview considering what today is. Here's a little bit of A.J. You know, the writer's strike's been a real drag, especially for writers of books who are supposed to be guests on talk shows, which are now on repeats. But it has been a boom for us here at the Bryant Park Project because we're happy to have all these amazing authors
swing by our
studio.
They're lining up outside the door.
Chris Elliott tomorrow. This morning, A.J. Jacobs, editor-at-large of Esquire magazine, he has a book out called The Year of Living Biblically, One Man's Humble Quest to Follow as Literally as Possible. Okay. Only 10 commandments, but you know, there are some 700 rules in the Bible, some easier than others. And AJ's in studio. Hi, AJ.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, you're very clear that you were agnostic at the beginning of this book. Did you come out the other end with any spiritual awakening at all?
Well, I did. It was a very intense year, and I went through all sorts of permutations. By the end of the year, not to ruin the ending, but I became what a minister friend of mine calls a reverent agnostic, which is a phrase I love. I'm trying to start it as my own religion. Because whether or not there's a God, I learned that there's something very valuable about the idea of sacredness, and that rituals or the Sabbath or prayers can be sacred.
Let me ask you about some nuts and bolts of this. Practically, did you read the Bible front to beginning and just take notes of what you were supposed to do, or did you just take it a day at a time and a chapter at a time?
No, I did. I spent a couple of months preparing, writing down every single law in the Bible. And I also assembled a board of spiritual advisors. So I had rabbis and priests and ministers, and I spoke to as many religious people as possible. I'm very proud because I think I'm the first person to out-Bible talk a Jehovah's Witness. He came over to my house, and after 3.5 hours, he said, "I got to go."
So after when you make up Jehovah's Witness leave.
You should have gotten his address and knocked on his
door. Right? Of all the tenets that you read about and having to live a normal life in New York City, what did you have to get most creative about?
Well, there were a few. There was, there were two kinds of difficult laws. There was the lying, the avoidance of lying and gossiping and coveting, because as you mentioned, I live in New York and I work for the media. So this
was just part of it. It's on your resume.
Right.
It's what you do.
That is
it's
what I do.
It's exactly. A skill set.
But then there were also the more obscure Old Testament laws, for instance, stoning adulterers. You know, this was difficult to pull off in 21st century America. So I had to look for some loopholes.
Did you at least collect the stones?
I actually ended up – I did stone an adulterer in a sense. A man came up to me later in the year. I was wearing my biblical clothing, so I had sandals and my white clothes, and he asked me what I was doing. I explained my project, and he said, "Well, I'm an adulterer. Are you going to stone me?" And I said, "Sure, that would be great." So I took out some pebbles I had for just this occasion.
Just in case.
Right. And he grabbed them and threw them at my face, so in retaliation I threw one at him.
You mentioned your appearance. I want you to read Day 95. It's on page 122 in terms of, you know, you could go through this personally, internally, but clearly people who ran into you knew there was something going on. Will you read that for
us? Sure. I looked in the mirror today and I decided it's official. I've become someone I'd cross the street to avoid. To complement my beard and tassels, I've begun wearing all white as prescribed by King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Let your garments be always white.
So you had to grow a beard.
I had a huge beard. I heard enough ZZ Top jokes to last me a lifetime.
How did you feel in wearing the white clothing? I read in the book that you said you were a bit lighter.
Yeah, it was very interesting how the clothes literally make the man, how the outer affects the inner, because I did somehow feel more spiritual while I was wearing white clothes.
One of the things I also think is interesting, you mentioned about the lying and the thieving and the Ten Commandments. You found out you were a little bit of a liar and a thief in your daily life. And
yeah, it was,
I think a lot of us don't realize we do this a lot, whether it's an extra packet of Splenda
right.
from Starbucks.
That's it. When you really start to pay attention, you realize just how much you sin. And it was a real ethical, extreme ethical makeover to try to stop lying and coveting. You know, even to my son, I have a 3-year-old son, and I would lie to him. I would say, oh, sorry, the TV's broken. We can't watch TV. So it was a fascinating journey to really try to make myself over.
Well, I can understand curbing behavior, but coveting, how could you visit anyone's apartment in New York and not want to have that?
Yeah, coveting is one of the hugest. It's in the Ten Commandments. It's the only commandment that deals with a state of mind, so it is really challenging. I mean, the only thing that I could do is try to focus on what I did have. So, you know, at least I do have an apartment, even if it doesn't have a marble staircase.
What was easy?
Well, there were, lots of commandments that I followed just by living. You know, I never took on my wife's sister as my second wife.
Oh, okay, yes.
So that was good. That was easy to check off.
Something I found sort of interesting in the book, and I think it's people who do have faith struggle with, or maybe it's one of the reasons they like faith, is that you get a chance every day to start again, that you can continue to be a sinner and have faith. I mean, you talk about, I think it's on day 124, that you got to stop self-Googling. You suddenly realize you're into this for a long time, and you've realized you still have some vanity. But with faith and with, you know, some sort of religion, you can try again tomorrow.
Well, absolutely. And, I tried every day. There was a new challenge because you know, there are so many ways that we sin that we don't even notice. So it was fascinating.
A friend of mine who's agnostic says that he thinks the Bible is basically kind of an instruction manual for how to live life. You know, how to treat your neighbor, just basically how to go along and get along. A set of instructions and a set of rules for living. I'm wondering if you had a similar experience. You think you could actually live a pretty okay life? I mean, aside from the extreme things, stoning adulterers in 2007.
Right. Well, I think it's got so much wisdom, and absolutely it can be an instruction manual. But you have to engage it. You have to pick and choose, because otherwise if you try to follow everything, then you will end up acting a bit like a crazy person. So part of the book was to show that if you try to live the Bible literally, like people say they live the Bible literally, they follow it literally, then you really, you're doing a disservice to the Bible, that you have to pick and choose.
And interpret.
And interpret, that's right.
And I just want to mention, it's a really funny book, too.
Hey, thanks, Allison.
It's a really, really funny. It's written by A.J. Jacobs. It's called The Year of Living Biblically.
More
I'm going
laughs
to
than the Bible.
A.J., thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks, Allison. Thank you.